what we do.
Blog Talk Radio.
I do it in one take, yo.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like some rubbers. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. Greetings once again, sports fans. Welcome back for another edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm here at our Super Bowl roundtable with the Generals, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson will join us in a few. We got a great show for you today. We got, after a few birthdays and some hot topics, it'll be all Super Bowl 47. At the top of the hour, we expect to have USA Today NFL reporter Robert Klimko live from the Super Bowl site down in New Orleans. So don't miss that as Rob fills us in on what's going on down there. I said we expect to because he's scheduled to call in, but it's kind of hectic down there, and, you know, you got the phone reception problems. So we'll see if we can work that out. So basically, do what you always do. Join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. But before that, before we get into our rundown, we got some shout-outs as usual. The future of sports talk radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, catch Mojo and the crew of the Season Ticket on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Finally, check out Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. So in addition, don't forget to catch us, your boys, 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, our birthday segment is really upon us.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Yo, what's goody, fam?
Yo, Super Bowl is approaching. Almost time.
I just want to add something to all the different things you said, man. I just want to let everybody know one thing, man, based upon what you just said about how we're all over the place 3 times a week. We're also on demand. Check us out on iTunes. And when you go to iTunes, give us a 5 stars, because if not, I'm coming to see you. Because 5 stars, that helps us to get discovered. You know what I mean? It helps us to get discovered and, you know, helps to get more listeners to, you know, join the movement, so to speak. With that being said, the birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. That's right.
Help us help you.
DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, where all football fans get prepared for the Super Bowl, but you guys didn't see the games on the regular season if you don't have DirecTV, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Yeah, they do. People be frauding. Anyway, go to warroomsports.com, look for that DirecTV logo, and make sure you order and get a better TV experience. I mean, I'm a DirecTV customer, and I got all kinds of crazy channels, man. I know you are too, Dev.
Yes, yes. Can't live without
it. You already know, man. Anyway, let's jump into these birthdays. The first birthday is Mario Jarrell Williams, who turns 28. Now,
my birthday, Dev. Yay!
When I say Mario Williams, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I mean, of course, you think about that draft. You know, he came out the year that Reggie Bush, you know, everybody thought Reggie Bush was supposed to be the number one pick of that draft. They took Mario Williams. A bunch of people said that Houston was stupid. But, you know, it turned out for the first few years that they had made the correct pick. You know, pass rushers are kind of hard to come by. So, you know, he kind of showed and proved that he was the right pick. Reggie Bush took a while to come into his own. You know, he still hasn't really come into his own fully as a feature back in the league, but, you know, he played a big part on the championship team. So at this point in their career, since he's in Buffalo now, Reggie Bush is in Miami trying to do his thing a little bit. You know, I think it was still a good pick for the Houston Texans. And, you know,
at that time, yeah. Me and the brother B. Austin had this saying that we always say, that fat boys up front win games. Now,
there
he's not a fat boy,
true.
But he is somebody up front that was, you know, a great pass rusher. And a lot of people don't realize how a great pass rusher can change the complexity of a game.
Right.
So it ended up being the right pick. It's not the sexy pick because everybody loves the skill positions in the draft because you get to, you know, root for those guys if your team is the one drafted. No one roots for an offensive tackle. Like, you don't get excited about an offensive tackle during the draft, you know what I'm saying, or defensive end. Anyway, B. Austin. What do you want to say about Mario Williams?
Yeah, I mean, happy birthday to the brother. I was one of the people telling the masses that Reggie Bush was more famous for the skins he was tapping than the than what he was going to do in the NFL, and that Mario Williams was a good pick. I like Mario because I feel like he's a real defensive lineman. He's, you know, 6'3", 6'4". 295. He doesn't have to come off the field. He's not a specialist. He's going to play the run, and he's going to get to the quarterback. So, yeah, happy birthday, big boy. I hope you do something up in Buffalo because right now you're stealing money.
he got to
get back to that level.
I just want to make a point on what you said. You said one thing. You said Reggie Bush. Do you really think he's a bust at this point?
No. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think he's number one pick worthy. But he's far from a bust. I mean, he has enough impact on the game to where you have to consider his career to be a decent career. And he's trying to fill that feature back role down there in Miami. I think he does have a competitive spirit about him. He wants to be good. I don't know that his body will hold up at 205 pounds getting the rock, you know, 250 to 300 times in a season.
All right, no doubt. Just wanted to, you know, give you a chance to clear that up.
My bad, Mario, for going into Reggie on your birthday, though. My bad.
It's all good. They're forever linked. It is what it is, man. Now,
Reggie went into Kim on your birthday. Oh, go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Whoa there. The next birthday is one.
Wish I was going into Kim.
Stay out of trouble, good brother. Stay out of trouble. The next birthday is one Lynn Nolan Ryan Jr. turned 66.
My birthday! Yay!
Nolan Ryan. Be off to Nolan Ryan.
I don't feel as though I'm old enough for him to be 66. Think about it. You'll get it. Nolan Ryan was arguably the greatest, well, I won't say the greatest pitcher of all time, but one of the all-time greats at the position. I mean, and tenure, I mean, he was good for three decades. So happy birthday.
I mean, you're right, because the dude played for 27 years. that's kind of crazy. But,
I mean, he's a lifer, though, man. I mean, when you put his playing career with his front office career, and now he's a principal owner and a CEO of the Rangers, like, this dude lives and breathes baseball, man.
He was playing baseball before I was born and was still playing baseball professionally when I was an adult. What's wrong with dude,
I mean,
man?
And of course, Nolan Ryan was known for, you know, I mean, he had a nice repertoire because he threw in the hundreds, you know, as far as mile per hour is concerned. And he did that well into his 40s. But then he also had, like, the crazy curveball.
He's
definitely, at the very least, of our time, of our era, he's arguably the best pitcher or one of. But I would extend that also and say, you know, arguably one of the best of all time.
Best of all time.
I mean,
here's
something that I found about Nolan Ryan when we were doing that research for the Hall of Fame episode on warmsportstv.com, is that when he was elected to the Hall of Fame, he got in his first year of eligibility. He had like 98.8% of the vote. He had 491 out of 497 possible. He was only six votes short of the unanimous election.
And that's hard to do. That's hard to do in baseball.
Damn near impossible.
Yeah. Writers.
Yo,
he's the second highest percentage.
Saying,
the only person who had one higher was Tom Seaver. That's the only person.
What you're saying is they probably would have voted in him while he was still playing.
I'm just saying that he was that great. And one thing I remember about Nolan Ryan is even when he got
well,
a certain age.
Half the voters probably died before he retired. They were waiting for him so he could get their vote.
And
that's
even,
probably
even
his
when
gymnast.
He played, and his stuff wasn't as great as it was in the past, Paul, he was still fiery and he was a gamer. Like, I always remember that about him. Like, dude would throw at you, even though he was a senior citizen. He didn't care.
Hey,
yeah,
Jim,
and
six votes that he didn't
him,
get.
We could beat all back.
Yeah, the 6 votes that he didn't get was, you know, they probably were empty ballots because they 6 writers probably died waiting for that dude to retire. So,
more or less. I mean,
because think about it, like who, just like we said about Babe Ruth, like who didn't vote for this dude? Like who? Really?
Yeah,
why would you
anyway,
do that?
Shout out to Nolan Ryan, man. As LeRoy calls him in our chat room, he's Mr. Texas Ranger at this point. So, shout out to him on his birthday.
Yeah, Casey Mack put that in one of his blogs when he did the defining person of each franchise. He did have him as Mr. Texas Ranger.
He definitely is. Who did he have as a Philly? Was it Michael Jack Schmidt at the Philly?
I think so. You know, he in there. You can ask him.
Who's the face of the Philly? That's a whole other side. Let's jump back into the birthday. Let's talk about Jalen Anthony Rose, who turns 40.
Stop wearing fake Gucci on the air.
Hey, look, man, I ain't got no problem with wearing fake Gucci, man. It is what it is, man. It's a respect right now, man. Yo, B. Austin, what you got on Jalen Rose, Al?
Well, being as though the Fab Five was a defining group in my life and in my lifetime coming up, you know, I'm a fan of every player on the Fab Five, even Jimmy King and Ray Jackson. But Jalen Rose is definitely my favorite. 6'7", 6'8", point guard, could do it all. Was surprised, actually, that he didn't have a better career as an NBA player, which let's keep it 100. His career wasn't bad at all. I mean, he played probably about, 13 seasons, was good on both ends of the court, was a strong defender, could defend three positions, the 1-2 and the 3, could play three positions, the 1-2 and the 3 on offense.
And was a big part of contenders, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a big part of contending squads. And, you know, our Michael Jordan fans are going to hate me as I'm one, so maybe I'll look at myself in the mirror and hate myself for this, but, yo, he gave Mike some work. Jalen Rose gave Mike a little bit of work. One of them series. One of them
series.
I ain't commenting on that right now. All I'm going to say is this, and I think of Jalen Rose, you can't help but think of the Fab Five in terms of the generation we grew up with in our culture. They were very, very influential.
Shout out.
My
fault, good brother. I was going to say shout out to him for improving his sartorial game because he went from zoot suits and gators to being somewhat decent on ESPN now. Go ahead, bro.
Well, you just called him out, so you're saying he went from zoot suit and gators to fake Gucci.
Fake Gucci.
So that's
Gucci.
Hey, hold on, though. Let's not get it twisted. Every once in a while, he will throw his Detroit suit on. But no, my point is when I think of Jalen Rose personally, I think of the Fab Five because you have to. I also think of Kobe giving him about 50 of those 81 points he scored.
I also think of Uncle Thomas's. For some reason,
also the work he's putting in the media, because I think he's vastly improved from when he first started with ESPN, and he used to sound like he was reading directly off of a teleprompter. He's actually one of the better guys now in terms of making the transition from the NBA into the broadcasting booth. So it's obvious that he puts in a lot of work because he's improved tremendously.
Yeah, and he's everywhere. He's a big part of the Grantland Network now, so he gets a lot of practice, you know, doing web work.
College basketball.
Yeah, so
he got
his
own podcast.
Yeah, and Bill Simmons was responsible for getting him on. He was responsible for getting Jalen on this pregame show. The NBA joint on ESPN. So,
they worked the hell out of
him. That's like
Bill
Simmons' right hand man down there. That's his man.
Yeah, they worked the hell out of him, but you know he's definitely improved. So shout out to him for like putting the work in.
Shout out to Jalen. There's nothing for me to add. Y'all summed it up.
Jalen, holler at us in the war room. Anyway, the last birthday I want to talk about is one Vernon Leonard Davis, who turns 29.
It's a Super Bowl birthday.
Yay! Absolutely.
Can I call my grandma?
Yeah, well, Vernon Davis. I guess, you know, he's having a pretty good birthday since he's in New Orleans tonight, you know, just getting ready to play the Super Bowl in a few days from now. So, I mean, I guess his birthday will always be memorable, you know, I guess hopefully for him and his memories, he can go on and win the game on Sunday. That'll just make the whole weekend much sweeter for him. But, you know, Vernon Davis, you know, I'm kind of familiar with him, being though he's from University of Maryland, one of my alma maters. And you know, he came out a very, very talented tight end. I mean, the dude ran like a 4.38 or something like that in the combine. And you know how the combine workouts get everybody clamoring for you. I don't know if he lived up to that athleticism his first few years in the league, but I think he's a very good tight end at this point, and I think he'll play a big part in what they end up doing on Sunday, even though to this point he hasn't been one of Kaepernick's favorite receivers. But I think in order to win, I think they'll have to do a little something with him in this game. But shout out to him on his birthday anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But, y'all, before I say what I got to say, you got anything you want to say about Vernon Davis?
Yeah, cut call my grandma. Cut call my grandma.
No, that wasn't him, though.
It wasn't him, but I take shots at, you know, that's what we do. We take shots, and based on his sartorial game,
you
got to
take relevant shots, though.
It's relevant, man. He definitely supports the city of San Francisco. In the way he dresses and behaves. Tremendous athletic talent, one of the more athletic people in the National Football League. And the reason that I think he will always be successful is because he creates such a huge matchup problem, because there is no linebacker in the world that can stay with him running down the seam. He's too fast. He's like the second fastest player on their team. So happy
no
birthday.
Weapon formed against Uncle Ray Shaw Prosper, though.
Mm-hmm. No weapon.
You know what I'm
so
saying?
Don't matter.
No, when I think of Vernon Davis, I think of Vernon Davis costing me the fantasy football championship. For those who haven't heard my horror story, I needed him to make one catch in the final game. He makes the catch, which wins me the championship, and gets hit and gets knocked out of the game and drops the ball.
Was that the Seattle game?
Yes, it is.
Don't blame him. Blame Cam Chancellor.
Dog. If he would have held on to the ball, I don't even want to talk about it, man. It is what it is. So his name pisses me off, so I don't even care that it's your birthday. Mm-hmm. F you, I. Anyway, Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind this past week, yo.
I will do that. It was a full week of news while you were on the grind this week. We'll just tell you the stuff that didn't have anything to do with the Super Bowl, because we'll be talking about all things Super Bowl in about a half an hour. So On the Grind is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. You know, just make sure. It is tax season coming up, so go to our website, to our sponsors page, click on the Bay Financial Services logo, get all the information that you need to call them up and get your money right. Tax time, ballers. All right. Some of the stuff that happened this week was pretty interesting. Did you guys hear about the whole Trent Williams thing, the left tackle from the Washington Redskins?
Of course.
He wasn't able to play in the Pro Bowl because he got into an altercation in a Hawaiian nightclub with one of the nightclub's owners and a few other people. You know, they said that this dude, I don't know, they like, the news never came out about why the altercation started and what his part, you know, in the whole thing was.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
all you hear is these Trent Williams Superman
stories.
They said the dude got tasered and was still standing, and then they hit him in his head with a champagne bottle and he was still standing. Dude's like the Terminator or something.
Damn.
He got
he
had 7 stitches in his head from the champagne bottle and wasn't able to play in the Pro Bowl. Be awesome. What's your speculation on what happened in that Hawaiian nightclub?
You know, here in the war room, we like to put together speculation on certain stories. And so what I'm speculating is that Richard Sherman, the starting cornerback and all-pro from the Seattle Seahawks, actually put the phone call in to the nightclub owner out there and sent some of his goons out to the club to kind of track down Trent. And when they saw him, they had the tasers ready and the champagne bottles, and they threw a 25 jersey on him. That's what I spent.
Jimmy, what do you think about the Terminator, man?
Yo, it's just a crazy story, man. I mean, some of these dudes didn't know how to control themselves and act accordingly when in public, man. It is, yo, put it like this. Roger Goodell makes a lot of suspect decisions, yo, but he's definitely needed. That's all I got to say, man.
The three people are in custody, a 25-year-old dude named John Blaine of somewhere in Hawaii. He turned himself in, and he got two counts of third-degree assault. The club owner, well, part owner, Michael Miskey, he was charged with assault because he's the one who hit Williams over the head with the champagne bottle. I was listening to sports radio in Washington the other day, and one of the hosts said, as long as none of those shards of glass touch RG3's knee, I could care less. Yo.
Man.
This is the left tackle. Okay. All right.
Man.
If he's out of commission, it's going to be more than shards of glass touching RG3's knee. So they need to
Has a man's
be
Richard
careful with
ever
their
been,
wish for.
Has a man's Richard ever been carried so highly? Above, I mean, what? Yo, man. Yo, man. Yo.
And before we go on to the next one, man, our birthdays, we forgot to give a shout-out to our brother B. Austin, who's, you know, in the studio right now trying to be all modest, not going to say nothing. But happy birthday to you, good brother.
Thank you.
Oh, bastard. Anyway, yeah, shout-out to you on your birthday, man.
21 again.
Yeah.
21 again, and I am accepting gifts and donations. Send it to the studio.
My birthday,
to find it on the website, warroomsports.com.
All the women out there, B. Austin's accepting box offerings for his birthday. Anyway, what's the next building there?
Make sure that box is properly wrapped with a bow.
All right, so for y'all dudes, get us kicked off the air. Saturday Night Live spoofs Ray Lewis. You know, we've all been kind of talking lately about, you know, Ray Lewis's antics and all of that stuff. Did you guys see the actual spoof that they did? It was the dude, what is it, Keenan or Kel, one of them dudes.
Yeah, it's funny, I call them both. I'm like, yo, that's Keenan and Kel.
Keenan and Kel did it, but it's only one of them.
I call them both that. So anyway,
I thought it was pretty funny. And Ray himself said that it was funny. He said he cried from laughter watching it. I kind of didn't believe him because he sounded kind of salty when he was saying that. But then he went on to say, the only thing I don't joke about is God. Because, you know, at the end of the skit.
No, he was lying.
Yeah, the end of the skit, Keenan or Kel, whichever one of them that is, he said, if I win this Super Bowl, I'm going to just walk to the 50-yard line and ascend into heaven. If y'all haven't seen that, it's on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/WarRoomSports. Just scroll down the page to like yesterday sometime, and you can see the Saturday Night Live skit on Ray Lewis.
That's the thing you made in life where they spoof you anyway, man. But at the end of the day, Ray definitely has to chill. I don't mind anybody being holier than thou. Just don't bring it to my football. That's all I'm saying. What'd you say?
Yo, even Tebow's crazy. Even Tebow's crazy.
He's worse than
you know that.
He's worse than Tebow. Yo, Tebow don't even do that though. Tebow, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm not gonna get
no weapon formed against.
All right, but look, a judge allows the antitrust suit against the NCAA led by Ed O'Bannon, so the players basically can move forward in trying to pursue some of the NCAA's television money. Real quick, what do you guys think about that?
It's a nice symbolic win for them, but over the long haul, where money is concerned and the players versus the NCAA, I was once told your arm's too short to box with God. So I really don't think they have the money to really do what they need to do.
To me, it's one of those things where it's going to be a long fight. We'll see what happens long term, but it's definitely going to take somebody with some moxie step to the NCAA, yo, because they're pretty much just running amok and doing whatever it is they want to do. And they're in bed with everybody from the major broadcast networks to to whoever you want to name. But and the thing is, they have so much power now, you know.
They're trying to battle.
Absolutely, man.
They're trying to battle with God.
And the thing is, though, there are people that have the ability to do so, but they're embedded with him. So
that's a great point.
The ones who have the power are already, you know, getting money
already
from
down,
them,
and then they're going to leave them missing like the F&O Bannons.
I was reading an article. I forgot. I read so damn much every day on a daily basis. I was reading an article. It was talking about how it's more lucrative to college franchises are more lucrative than professional teams at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the paradigm is so far that shifted in terms of like what you can make on a professional team that is more lucrative to pretty much run a college organization. The revenue they generate is through the roof. It's out of control.
And the expenses are way down because you ain't got to really pay. You ain't got to pay the help or pay the players. So I would imagine if you're looking at the profit and net.
I mean, that's what you do. No, mom, man. I'm sorry. I digress. But anyway, in terms of that suit, though, man, it is a nice gesture. It's a long fight, though, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a long fight. Our next story that happened while you guys were on the grind. I know a million and a half people keep saying that they're tired of this story, but I'm not because it's one of the funniest things that I've seen in the last few years.
Your life.
Manti Te'o's supposed hoaxer, Rinea Twist. I'm going to kill his name. Rinea Tuiasosopo.
Tuiasosopo,
there you go. He got interviewed. It was a two-part interview on Dr. Phil, where this dude admits that since he was playing the part of this female so long that he actually fell in love with Manti Te'o. He said, this is one of his quotes. He said, "You've heard of recovering drug addicts? Well, it takes a lot of courage to stand and say that, to recover from homosexuality and this type of thing. Not only that, coming back to your real life, as hard a task as that is, I'm going to do all I can to live right." And he said, "I pretty much had this escape of Lene, and this was where my heart had pretty much been invested, not just time, but all of my energy went into this. As twisted and confusing as it may be, yeah, I cared for this person. I did it. I did all that I could to help this person become a better person, even though I wasn't getting nothing out of it." And there was a part where it seemed like Dr. Phil basically tricked the dude into saying, "Yeah, I'm gay." So, but then he tried to say, "Well, I'm confused," because he asked him if he was, you know, in love with the dude. And it, you know, this story.
There it is, Jimmy's JoJo Award. Let him know.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's all. I had to let JoJo speak for me, man, because I don't know what else to say about this, man. Like,
yo,
the story
is
hilarious. I think that it's, I mean, obviously everybody's still lying, but it's like this is not making it any better if this is their attempt to clean it up. Dude, I guess trying to get his 15 minutes of fame, but Dr. Phil was like, you know, just playing verbal gymnastics with him, getting him to say things he didn't even realize he was saying, which made it kind of hilarious, but it's crazy. This is not helping Manti, or as Austin calls him, Manti. How often call the dude's name?
Manti.
Yeah, but it's not helping his situation at all, man.
Yeah,
I really the amount of slander he's going to get at the next level.
Exactly. Yeah, I really look at this as this is just a bunch of people, you know, I still think he was in on it. I think this is damage control. I think these are just a bunch of people that's just willing to take the hit for him, you know, because maybe they're his friends or maybe there is a promise of money down the line. I mean, because think about it. Nothing they did is punishable by law, by arrest or anything like that. So they're taking a jail sentence for him. So, like,
not at all.
They're willing to take the L.
The question is character. That's pretty much the question is character. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, what did you do? Do anything illegal. You pulled the wool over the media's eyes.
So all they're doing is taking public ridicule for him. But if I were him, I'd rather just come out and be labeled a liar than to look as gullible as he looks right now. I'd rather be a liar than be stupid. I'd rather be viewed as a liar.
I'd rather be stupid. I think Manti needs to just come out of the closet go ahead and stand for no hate. And, you know, it would be ideal for him to be drafted by San Francisco or Atlanta and gain the support of, you know, other communities that the NFL is reaching out to. You know, on a serious note,
I think that, and I know I don't want to get too deep into this, it could be a whole show, I think the timing is right for that. If that was the case, I'm not saying that's what the case is, if it was the case that, you know, he liked men, I think that the time is right for an athlete in one of the major sports to come out of it, because he would get, listen, man, the Pink Mafia is real, man. He would get so many endorsements and support.
You see the backlash people get every time they say something homophobic in sports news. I mean, look at Chris Culliver. We'll actually speak about that in a couple of minutes, because actually Robert Klimko from USA Today is going to call in a few minutes. He's going to call in a little bit early. So you guys, you know, make sure if you got some people that want to hear some stuff live from the Super Bowl and what's going on down there, just be in front of your computer or that phone in the next 3 minutes. So,
To end that conversation, in my point, I just want to say that if that was the case, it's the perfect time for it. I think that it's going to be soon in one of these sports, whether it be the NBA, NFL. I think somebody's going live just to capitalize off of it. That's just my opinion. I think somebody's going Frank Ocean the game and lie. It's going to happen.
All right. Well, that's what's up. Right quick before Robert Klimko does call in, we'll just let you guys know how to get in touch with us on a daily basis. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. You can stay abreast of what's going on in the company and, you know, any events or contests that's coming up. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. So while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows. Make sure you get those updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so go ahead and raise your hand, and we might just call on you. If you want to make sure you get into that chat room right now, so when we do have our NFL reporter on from the USA Today, if you got a question about what's going on down there in New Orleans right now, maybe we can get that to him on the air and you can get that answered. But until he gets on the line, we'll get into some hot topics. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible, sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. And real quick on the hot topics in other news, Tiger Woods won the Farmers Insurance Open last weekend, and that was his 75th PGA Tour win. Of course, it's not a major, but 75 wins is nothing to sneeze at. He's only 7 behind Sam Snead for the all-time lead. So, you know, shout out to Tiger on that. It's a good way to start the season because, you know, every time he's won this tournament in the past, which he's won 8 times now, he's gone on to win a major, at least one major in that season. So, you know, if the trend stays the way it is, it looks like we might see some good things from Tiger Woods this season. A-Rod, back in the news. His name pops up on another PED list, this time down in Miami, has A-Rod as on a list of player names that they actually sold some of the juice to. What do you guys see in his future? There's a lot of speculation of whether the Yankees will try in some way to wash their hands of this whole thing. If they do, you know,
they're,
I mean, he's,
they're
just,
pleasantly,
he's so much up against their cap. It's crazy.
They're presently looking for options to void the contract. Their legal team is really aggressively kind of looking because, in their opinion, at this point, you've already obligated yourself to, I don't know how much of his contract is left, but it's close to, if not over, $50 million, and they understand that he's in the decline anyway. So regardless of any of this happening, you know, regardless of that, you've got a declining player. But they were willing to take the L on that, you know, whatever. But now in the media, he's getting ripped and public opinion is changing. So now fan sentiment is going to turn against him, and he's not even good for merchandising or driving revenue. So you're really losing value by the millions in dealing with this whole situation. So the Yankees are really looking for ways to void the contract rather than even trying to shop him and trade him. They're just trying to get rid of the problem, which is understandable. I can totally understand from a business.
But shopping them and trading them, it's like, who's going to take on that kind of contract?
Well, yeah, nobody
at this
would
point.
Take it. Yeah, nobody would take it. Nobody would take it anyway. So now the best course of action is truly to void the contract and get rid of it.
I don't see that happening either.
I mean, because if they void the contract, they're going to have to eat at least $97 million. It's just a crazy situation at the end, and that's why B. Austin said, like,
you know,
it's a situation
has
where
$97 million on there.
Remember, they re-upped the dude for $275 million. I'm saying $97 million is like a buyout. I believe he still has more than that left on the contract. It might be something crazy like $137 million. It's crazy. I mean, I know we got one of our main baseball writers in the chat room. So I know Casey Mack can school some people on what's going on in that situation. But, before we move on to anything else, we do have our guest on the line, and he is live down in New Orleans from the Super Bowl site. So, you know, we know it's hectic down there, so we're going to get him on the line now, you know, while he still has the time. So we're going to USA Today NFL reporter Robert Klimko live from New Orleans. Robert, what's up? What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good evening, Rob. What's up?
Doing pretty good. I haven't slept much, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
Hey, it's New Orleans. You're not supposed to sleep much. But, you know.
I haven't had a bad meal, and I haven't slept for longer than 5 hours in a night.
Yeah. Jeez. I love New Orleans. I definitely gained a few pounds because they cook everything in lots of butter down there.
That's all it is. It's just cream and butter.
Exactly, but let's get into, you know, what's going on down there. I mean, I was following the stories earlier, some of the stuff that you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Chris Culliver thing is
mm-hmm.
making headlines today. What was the tone like when he was giving his apology to you guys in the media? Go ahead.
I'll tell you, I wrote a story entirely on just the questions he was asked because it struck me as the most awkward situation I've ever been in my life. I was so glad I wasn't Chris Culliver. And there was so much bias in all the questions. You know, it was like, you know, it was almost like everybody was shaming him.
Right.
And I thought it would have been interesting if he had actually come out and said, you know, that's what I believe in, but I shouldn't have said it that way, you know?
Right.
But he came out and just flipped it and said, you know, that's like the opposite of what I feel. And
see,
so, you know, everybody – go ahead.
That's exactly the conversation that we were having with some of, you know, the page members on our Facebook page today, you know, because a lot of people were justifying the fact that he flipped it and apologized. But it's kind of like, you know, mean what you say. Because in a situation like this where, you know, the whole sports media is in New Orleans and the cameras are in front of you, you know, if you're going to be able to be bullied into apologizing for things that you mean, then you need to probably think about what you say before you say it in the first place. So
exactly,
I kind of agree with you. He could have apologized, maybe saying, "I apologize if it offends anyone, but, you know,
right.
that's what I feel." But, you know how it is these days.
The thing is, he tried to play naive, like he didn't know it was going to be a big deal, and he even suggested that it was taken out of context. And you can't really take that quote out of context. Also, you're at Super Bowl Media Day. It's the biggest media day for the biggest sport in America, for the biggest game in that sport. It, everything you say, you know you're going to see it somewhere. So I just don't get – I don't get how he was coached to say that he didn't really understand how everything was going to be magnified.
Yeah. I think that it's really a travesty that society now has placed such a premium on political correctness that people
mm-hmm.
have to now backtrack so much around what they say. As you know, you and Devin both said, like, I'd rather you just be genuine with the way you feel, pick a route that's tactful, express yourself, and then create a social dialogue around
mm-hmm.
it. And kind of go in that direction as opposed to these backtrack, because it perpetuates a disingenuous air amongst
mm-hmm.
the kids that watch, you know. So that's just my thought. I think it's a shame, man.
Yeah, and that's you look over on the other side of this game, and that's exactly what Ravens players have done on this same issue. You have Brendan Iambadejo, who's for gay marriage, and then you have Matt Burke, who is probably the smartest guy in the room, Harvard grad, who is, completely against it. He's a religious guy. He sees marriage as, as a thing between a man and a woman in the Catholic definition. And he has expressed that. But when you're answering a shock jock and you put it in those words, and I don't know if Chris Culliver really knows any better way to put it, that's how you bring the attention to yourself.
That's
And it's funny because he was talking to Artie Lang. And it's interesting to me because these things seem to happen every media day. This always happens year after year. That's what shocks me. It's like
media day is a setup for idiots.
Yeah, media day is like a setup on an annual basis and people feel fall for it. It's amazing to me. Yeah. Dev, you said you had something you wanted to ask?
No, I was going to see, because I know Baltimore fans, I've seen footage. Baltimore fans are deep in New Orleans right now. But, you know, I'm sure you have kind of the pulse of the city, or at least the pulse of the area down
mm-hmm.
near the game site. What are people saying, especially like San Francisco people, what are they saying about the whole controversy surrounding Ray Lewis and this deer antler spray? Is he getting the business down there? Is he a cheater and all of that stuff?
You know
first
what?
He was
I
the
think...
murderer, so I'm assuming now he's the cheater.
Yeah. Well, Ray is such an authoritative presence, and so many of these media that get credentialed for this are more fans than hard-nosed reporters. So
right.
when Ray shoots down a question the way he does, nobody revisits it. Like, I was sure somebody was going to come down here and ask him where the white suit was, but nobody did.
it's so crazy, Rob, because it's like your point is well taken. It's like either you hate the guy or he's your uncle.
Right.
Like it's kind of nuts. In terms of the game,
mm-hmm.
What's the general vibe like, especially among the media, pertaining to A, seeing a running quarterback in the pistol visit the Super Bowl, and then also what amounts to a black quarterback now playing in the game? Those are the two things that I'm really interested in hearing about.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the pistol, I think a general theme has been to ask these players, these coaches, and a lot of the experts, is this something that we're going to be seeing proliferated? And the answer is, as long as there are smart, athletic quarterbacks to do it, yes. But there's a premium on those guys. So I don't know that I see it being proliferated like that. I think it will be sprinkled in more next year, especially with the success that Colin was able to have. You know, all of, so I think that it's going to have an effect there.
Rare,
I don't think.
Rare.
it's the future of football, and I think, and I don't think Colin or the 49ers think that either. It, I think it's also overplayed how much they use it. It's not
right.
something they're going
right.
to every set of downs.
I'm sorry, Rob. I was going to say the only team that I see that runs it with any true regularity, like one out of every four plays or one out of every five, is the Redskins. Everybody
right.
else, it's a set of play packages. The Green Bay game, because of the stage that it was on, got a little bit more, I guess, viewership, so people saw him running, so their assumption
mm-hmm.
is that they run it. But I only see San Francisco run the pistol maybe 7-8 plays a game. The
exactly.
same with Seattle. You know, the Redskins run it about 40% of the time, but that's, you know, I think that will change. You can't put a franchise guy on the edge in front of linebackers trained to kill
and
expect it to stick around.
That's like how people are terming it, running quarterback. See, it makes the novice fans think that, okay, every guy in college that can run with the ball has a chance to play well in the NFL now. But all of these guys, you know, RG3, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson,
are
they're pretty
passers.
Good passers too. Yeah, so
that's the only
I
way
think
it works.
It's misleading a lot of fans right now.
Yeah, the only way it works is if you can be an accurate passer and you can hit guys
right.
over the middle and you can throw the deep ball. If
right.
if a team is able to stack the box against you because you can't throw accurately, you can't run the read option.
There you go.
But it was interesting you asked about the black quarterback aspect, and I went down here thinking that that would be a major storyline, but me and my editors, we haven't talked about it, and I haven't seen a lot written about it, because I think one of the major factors is that Colin Kaepernick is one of the least personable people that you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah, he's very boring.
He doesn't talk. The big joke around here, down here in the media, is that all of his answers would fit into 140-character tweets.
So he's not tweet all of his responses.
He's not giving anybody a whole lot to work with. And then the other part of it is that, you know, for whatever reason, I think people probably see him as something Rob Parker would describe as a cornball. You know, I don't condone the term, and I actually hate it. People started calling me that on Twitter after Rob Parker said that. But I don't think people, especially in the media, identify Colin as a black quarterback as much as they would a Cam Newton.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's what
you
identify with, and you know, having you know, a Caucasian family that he grew up in, and kind of the way he presents himself, some of the
right.
typical things that America thinks of as being quote unquote black don't really go with Colin. I mean, he's got the tattoos and the, you know, the hat and all of that, but it's not really, he doesn't really come off that way. So I think it's not getting as much pub. The same for Russell, you know, the same for Russell Wilson.
Right.
Yeah. I was saying it's interesting because, like, leading up to this, I thought it would be a lot more of the talk in reference to him being an African American quarterback. And I'm really not hearing it at all, to be honest with you.
I haven't heard it either.
Yeah, and I mean, it's actually a good thing. I mean, let the guy play the game, and he's a quarterback. It is what it is. But I thought I definitely would hear it more, and I haven't really heard it at all. So, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we're not pigeonholing these people. And I hate when everybody writes one story, and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, you're right, black quarterback. And then the next day, everybody's writing that story. I think it's a positive that these guys really can't be put in a box.
Well, Robert, have we moved past that dialogue, do you think?
I'm sorry?
Have we moved past that dialogue in America in the sports world?
No, I think as soon as Cam Newton makes it to the Super Bowl and he gets up there with his big earrings and, you know, the way he talks, that's going to be a story again.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Rob, my last question I want to ask you, Rob, is that I know that, you know, sometimes there's a week in between, there's 2 weeks in between. What do you think is the better setup in terms of the Super Bowl? Do you like the two-week break or do you think the 1 week? Because it seems like when there's more time, it's more time for these guys to get in trouble or say something they shouldn't. And,
there's more time for us to overanalyze the game as well.
That as well.
There's that aspect of it, and there's a media circus that's definitely perpetuated by the two-week break. But I think the really great part of the two-week break is that guys – get a chance to get healthy. And so you're seeing the best Ravens team that we're going to see, and you're seeing the best 49ers team that we're going to see. And neither team is going to have an excuse and say, oh, we didn't have enough time to recover.
So, like, you get optimum circumstances for 11-on-11 football, as, you know, as much as you can. Obviously, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, they're still going to be hurting. But I like to see healthy football teams rather than banged-up ones.
Yeah, great point.
All right, so we know it's busy and it's crazy down there. So we're going to get you out of here. You know we weren't going to let you go without getting your predictions on the game. So let us know how you think the game will go. And you can get back to your non-sleep party down there.
All right, well, I have to give you another caveat, as I always do when I make a pick, that I've picked against the Ravens in every single game in these playoffs. So I'm not gonna flip it up and pick the Ravens now. I'm going to stick with the 49ers. They were my preseason Super Bowl pick. I'll say 35-28.
All right, well, that may end up being a good thing because, you know, once you get back home – to that area, people might, you know, think that you were their good luck omen. So you said, what was that final score?
35-28.
49ers?
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, well,
okay.
Hey, Rob, as usual, man, we really appreciate you taking time out from your busy schedule down there at the Super Bowl to come talk to us for a few minutes.
My pleasure, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
We'll
everybody out there,
check him out.
At Robert Klemko on Twitter.
Yeah, and definitely check out his articles at usatoday.com. I mean, we usually post them on our social media networks as well. So get back to the party, and we'll talk to you when it's
have
all
fun,
over.
Rob.
All right, later, guys.
All right, Robert Klemko, everybody of the USA Today. It's hectic down there. I just know
they
it.
Got,
it's
yo,
just by
Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras starting. Won't Mardi Gras start right after the bowl?
Mardi Gras.
Yo, we talk about the Knicks and New Orleans is back.
Yo,
New Orleans
back. There's gonna be a lot
they
of.
They're making so much. They're making so much money. Yo, not the last time, but the time before last, I visited New Orleans. It was like. The next week after Mardi Gras, and the whole hotel smelled like throw up. It was trash. Everybody was just getting drunk and just letting it loose. I tried
Let
to switch rooms.
Question,
the hotel was too crowded, so I couldn't switch rooms. So they kept coming in trying to clean it.
Though.
Oh my God, it was right. Nasty.
More
Bourbon
of a party,
Street smelled
New,
like
Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans or Vegas? Which one's more of a party?
Vegas is just the square mileage of, you know, put it like this, New Orleans is more of a concentrated party just in one area, so it gets crazier in one area, so I would definitely say Vegas, but that's because, you know, you got about a mile and a half, 2 miles in Vegas to just let loose anywhere you want to let loose, but everybody tries to party in New Orleans in the very same spot, which makes it nasty. Because everybody gets drunk and just go outside and pee anywhere they want.
And hurl and let it go.
Yeah. So Bourbon Street smells like throw up. Like I said, sometimes
your
hotel room.
If you had your choice, it's always Vegas over New Orleans. Huh?
Yeah, I would much rather party in Vegas myself. Rob said when he first came on, though, the food in New Orleans is hard to beat. So,
man,
yeah.
Oh man.
It depends. It depends. For me, it depends upon where my purse strings are and my account. You know how many commas.
Yeah.
As a lay person, I'd rather go to New Orleans.
Because it's gonna cost
and,
you more to
and
party
drink,
in Vegas
and drink for,
yeah.
for cheap. But if I'm, you know, if I'm going out there to do it the way that Diddy does it, like I'm doing it for TV, then
yeah.
you know Vegas. I'm a land, you know, and party, and then I'm gonna take off, saying, you know, and get a whole bunch of Instagram pictures, hashtag R, you know what I'm saying, WRS, and I you know, that's a Vegas thing. I am a walking party, so the party is wherever I am.
Listen,
so
man,
I don't know.
All I'm saying is better quality
liquid
teeth look. Are in Vegas. But let's move on, though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, let's get back into some hot topics real quick because, you know, our whole last hour is going to be on the Super Bowl. But since Rob came on early and took a few of those minutes, you know, we'll just go with this until maybe 7:05, 7:10 or whatever like that. So NBA players of the week this week were Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers and Tony Parker of the San Antonio Spurs. Kyrie led the league in scoring at 35.7 points per game, led the Cavs to a 3-0 week. He had at least 32 points in every game. He shot 61% from the field and 95% from the foul line. He had 40 against the Celtics in a win. Yo, he is quickly ascending.
Yeah. Yes.
Up
yes,
that NBA
is.
Mountain. This dude is
yes,
going to be a problem for years to come.
And
I got
Drew. Poor Drew.
Yeah, Drew is done.
I got a question.
Drew Holiday All-Star days are done.
I got a question for both of you guys, because Jimmy always says that he feels as though the Indianapolis Colts have an unfair luck advantage, pun intended. They go from, you know, Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers now go from LeBron James to Kyrie Irving, who, in my opinion, could end up taking the reins.
That's because the NBA fixed it that way.
Yeah, the Colts had one bad season, though.
They don't have a lottery.
For all intents and purposes, they still stink. Even though Kyrie's balling, the team still stinks.
No, they stink, but I still think, you know, the NBA, come on, you lose the most transcendent superstar in the game, and then you automatically get the number one pick. Like, come on, it just happened that way.
Like, here's my problem.
No, the same way LeBron is from Akron, a little while away from Cleveland, and they got the number one pick when he was eligible to come out. Like, come on, son.
Yo,
like,
I ain't know they was getting no money in Akron, but yo, all I'm saying is this though, like. Here's my problem. We always talk about how we live in a society and people love what's going on now. This is the greatest. A culture of immediacy, as B. Austin likes to call it. Yo, when he was putting up these numbers this week, I was on Twitter where I live, and, yo, people were saying, yo, I told you he's better than LeBron. I'm like,
oh, my
serious?
God. Oh, God.
All right, let's cut that right there and go to Tony Parker, man.
yo,
Tony Mac Parker led the Spurs. Tony Parker led the Spurs to a 4-0 week. He averaged 24.5 points, 9.5 assists. He had back-to-back point assist double-doubles and wins over the Hornets and the Mavericks. So what? And he shot 60% for the week. But, you know, Tony Parker, he historically shoots a pretty good percentage because he goes to the rack and he gets there whenever he feels like getting there. So those are your NBA players of the week.
I mean, that's crazy. Shout out to Tony Parker. Yo, PJ just walked in the studio with some snow bunnies throwing rose petals at his feet.
Yeah, I was just about to ask him this next question. I was about to go to PJ on this this whole Rondo thing. Like, Rondo out for the season, ACL. Like, what do you think, PJ, would be the Celtics' fate this year without him? They were already struggling with him. What do you see this team doing without Rondo for the rest of the year?
First of all, y'all going to have to excuse me because I'm just finishing off some charboiled deer antler nuggets. So I was just finishing them off. So if I got in my throat a little bit.
I understand, brother. You got the pink toes throwing the rose petals at your feet. So later on, y'all going to exercise. So you got to get your deer nuggets.
Absolutely.
New
Zealand deer nuggets. I think that's going to – like, see, I think the win – the Heat win this past weekend with Rondo wearing his trench coat on the sideline with his ugly scarf. When I think that win was a little bit misleading. I think that Boston's going to have a little issue without Rondo. And it looks good as a Sixers fan. I'm happy about that, I think. But I think it's going to be tough for them without Rondo because I think he's still the glue to that team, especially offensively. So I think without him, I think it's going to be a little tough. I don't know.
PJ, as far as our Sixers are concerned, they're going to make it so it don't even matter. But unless your man come back after the All-Star break balling.
He got his knee shot up today. He might be
Andrew Gutterball Bynum. Let's go.
They say he got his knees needled up today, which is going to last him through the end of the season. So
we're going to see.
Sixers
going to get that number one seed.
You know, all this injury does really is lessen the level of competitiveness in terms of games that Boston, you know, is going to be able to have. In the grand scheme of things, in terms of playoff picture, it doesn't matter because they weren't even a pseudo contender at this point. You know, we all love, historically, we love KG, despite him being a noodle, and the truth, you know, doo-doo body will drop 40 on you. But at the end of the day, man, these dudes, yeah, these dudes are at the, they're on their last
leg. The window is closed.
Still has some quality games left, and as a third option on somebody's squad, if they decide to blow it up, maybe you'll see Paul Pierce resurface. But as the main gun, I don't think that Boston has what it takes on the as far as their primary stars, nor their bench.
I mean,
and they
have nine new players on their team from previous years. So,
and the,
you know, the chemistry is not even there yet for the entire team. So to lose their floor general, I think it's a bigger deal than some people are making it. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, they're going to be fine without Rondo or better off without Rondo.
You see they beat
the Heat. But like PJ said, that's a misleading win. Yo, you know, you lose your floor general, you lose somebody important, you get up for that next game, especially against the champs. It's not going to carry out through the whole season.
That was an adrenaline win.
He took the night off. And they're so good now. I hate me to say this, but they're good enough to where they can still win about 20 games in the middle of the season.
Night off. The Heat took the whole first half of the season.
Yo, the Heat took the first. I'm about to say the same thing, yo. You watch them play, they never give 100%. Not one game yet.
Yo, they
They played hard last night because Reggie Evans ran his mouth, so they played hard to bust Brooklyn up. But other than that, they just waited out.
They in Shaq
mode. They in Shaquille O'Neal mode.
Yeah,
and the crazy part about it is they're getting better as a team because something I paid attention to is the Heat scoring this season. No, what I'm saying is they score more out of the half court in sets as opposed to last year. They were just running the floor and just outrunning people. Now, these guys are running sets and scoring in the half court, which is, like, scary. Being said, I hope the Celtics lose every game from here on out. I'm going to enjoy watching them fail, so it is what it is.
All right, well, yeah, speaking of that, just in other news, Derrick Rose, he's practicing now with contact, so we lose one of the better point guards in the league, and we're about to get another one back. So we're going to see how that plays out.
Real quick,
he's supposed to come back like the day after the All-Star break. Go ahead, Jim.
In our chat room, we got Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk, who's based in Chicago, and he said he just wants you to know that D. Rose is coming back, and he'll be better than he was before he got hurt.
Better than what?
He was before he got hurt.
Come on, Homer Simpson.
We don't know.
That could be the case. He could have gained some wisdom from this injury and come back, you know, 95%
But he would have said that either way.
He would have said that. We gotta see what this dude, if his game is going to translate to a more skill-based game. Because, yo, Derrick Rose went to the rack like an angered mute ogre and beat the rim apart. Like, and that type of play isn't sustainable over a long-term career. So he's going to have to develop some finesse. And I'm anxious to see whether that's going to come in the next, you know, 24 months, you know, what his game is going to be, because he can't continue to play with such violence.
If he get a hold of some of that antler spray, you never know, though.
Yeah, that antler spray is no joke. We definitely going to rap about that later, because I found out some facts about deers and their antlers and why that stuff is so is making so much news right now. We'll see what Derrick Rose does after he comes back after the All-Star break.
Yo,
Jimmy's Lakers,
great coach.
Jimmy's Lakers have won 3 out of their last 4. Should have been 4. I don't know how they lost to Phoenix last night.
Michael Beasley.
They have Kobe playing the role of facilitator lately. He has 48 assists over the last 4 games. Jimmy, let me go to you first on this. Do you think this is a way – do you think the Lakers can sustain this type of play and actually get back into the race with Kobe playing facilitator? Even though you hurt your shoulder again and – he's making Nash a non-factor?
It's crazy because I think the hole they dug may have been too deep to start the season, but this is how they should have been playing. I know Austin likes when he scores a bunch of points, But as I've always stated,
because he's a shooting guard.
But my thing is this, though. He's a basketball
shooting
player.
Guard.
No, listen to what I'm saying. In today's basketball, those positions don't even matter anymore. You got basketball players because you have guys that, you know.
I don't agree with
the
quality
of
the game.
Of the players,
well, Jim, that's why Kobe the old head on his way out. He ain't a part of this.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that right now, Kobe's the best point guard in the league. Yo,
but you know what,
Jim? When he plays like this, everybody is better. Like, Gasol is better. Gasol's getting easy shots. Everybody.
Gasol's a hoe cake.
I'm saying is, I've been having this argument
for the last 3 days. I'm ready to go.
I mean, I get that, but are you watching the games to make this judgment?
Yes.
When you watch
yes.
the games
y'all
and you watch Gasol play.
Yeah, y'all moving the ball great. I'm impressed with the ball movement. I'm impressed with what y'all are doing defensively. I'm impressed with the flow of the offense.
All of that is a result of him playing this way, though. When he starts to play this way, it's contagious. I've never seen as many touch passes in his team up until this past week when he starts facilitating the ball, and everybody wants to pass. It kind of reminded me of when Magic came back and he was playing power four, right? Because what happened was that team wasn't that good, and they still weren't good when he came back, but everybody wanted to facilitate the ball at that point, and it became contagious, so the team started to get a couple of wins. I'm not even saying
like it won't last because anybody will figure them out and shut Kobe down as a point guard, blah blah blah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I just don't see it being in Kobe to do this more than so a couple weeks at most. I think Kobe's more of a I'll do this just to prove to you that I can
type
of player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know if it's really in his heart. In his soul, that he can just keep giving out 14 assists, scoring like 20 points.
Here's the thing.
Like, I don't think it's
edible. That's the case, and I actually listened to Kobe's interview this week. He did an interview this week on ESPN LA, and he kind of said that. He says, but even beyond scoring, I want to win. So if I do this and I see that we can win this way, I'd rather win than score.
But that's what
I'm
saying. This is my thing. I don't know how long his patience will stretch, though. Say you lose two games. Like, it could still be a viable thing, and it might work down the road, but he don't have a crystal ball.
Yo.
He might panic after
the
game last night and come out and jack on Friday.
Yeah, I think when the stakes get higher, though, in a situation like, say, they are in a, you know, they're battling Houston for the last spot in the playoffs, for example.
Yeah, you're going jack on.
I think he may revert back to, you know, what he does best and what has made him the player he is. I think it might be situational what he's doing might be situational. And maybe, like Jim said, he might be trying to try it out. I mean, he might rock with it as long as it is effective.
Listen.
But I think when the chips get a little higher,
they get an 8-point deficit. It's on.
Exactly. An 8-point deficit. 10 minutes left.
Casey Mack said it's gone already. He said it's gone already. He said once it's off the Phoenix, that was it.
I'm going to keep it 1 million right now. Dev, Jimmy, TJ, my brothers, you can dress a lion up like a lamb, but that lion is still a lion. You can go to a plant with a gun, and you can pour water down the barrel to water the plant. That gun is still a gun. You can take people and nuclear physicists and let them feed the people. They still make bombs. Kobe Bryant is the greatest scoring machine the world has ever seen. Why do they make this man a pastor?
Austin over there turning into Cornell West on us right now.
Yo, he be having them old head analogies.
A rock can only be round. Like, what?
Yo, he got the people listening like, wow.
And then we're perpetuating this myth. He has to make his teammates better. These cats get paid billions and billions of money. Get your ass on the court.
That is a very, very overused cliche.
No one said that he would sustain this or keep going. I didn't even say that. I just said that when he plays this way, it makes the team a better team. That's all I said.
he's a great – that now Powell all of a sudden is a great center or a great big – man, F-O-H, man.
He was about to suck a
punch.
No,
but I'm saying, look at the shots he's getting. He's getting better shots because Kobe's playing his way. It has nothing to do with his game. It's his shots are better. He's not standing at the three-point line shooting three-pointers. He's
well,
getting
not,
easier
it's
shots.
Powell, it's giving a little bit more
he
effort.
Shouldn't have been doing that either way, though.
No, but what I know, and a lot of it's not effort, B. Austin. He's getting layups. Kobe's driving, getting two guys, and he's kicking.
So you're saying this
layup.
Is promoting more movement. This style is promoting
absolutely,
more movement, more cutting, more.
I'm not saying that his
yeah.
team is up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when he plays this way as a team, they are a better team.
Yeah,
because I guess that's like
that.
If you play.
Nobody says you said that.
It's like if you play with somebody who you think is a gunner, you probably won't move much. You probably will just
yeah,
come around and stand around.
Exactly.
Right, like he's probably
going to
shoot
though.
Anyway. Right, but
yeah.
if you see that he's facilitating a bit more, you're going to be like, I'm open.
I'm not a Lakers fan. I don't tune in to watch that dude pass. I tune in to see Kobe Bryant get 60 because scoring points is one of the most impressive things that I see, and we don't tally up passes at the end of games. We tally up points.
Yeah,
why do people want to watch Magic Johnson play, though? He made that whole thing showtime because he was facilitating.
Because Magic, to be honest
with you,
his
passes were a different breed.
Moment,
he was looking over at the concession stand.
PJ, in the waning moments of games, like last 2-3 minutes, I'll give him this. I'm not the biggest Magic fan, but Magic was clutch. And I give him props. Magic would take the shot
and make the shot. But that's not the point.
Yeah,
the
I'd rather see Magic
day,
pass than dudes sit back and shoot three-pointers. Three-pointer might have ruined the
I
game.
I mean,
yeah,
at the end of the day, man, you know, it's like it's all about wins and losses, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Kobe's won a couple
games. Hey, Jimmy, first of all, that wins a lot. Stop being spoiled, man. I got like 28,000 rings, man. Get out of here.
Yeah, but
come
that's
on,
what I'm
man.
Saying.
Spoiled-ass Lakers
rings,
fans talking about rings.
Yo, I expect greatness,
yo,
man. I
they got half the rings
that
have ever been given out.
I don't care about that. Listen, man.
Like PJ just said,
you
man. Y'all got half the rings that's ever
yo,
been given out to me, man.
People street
talk about wins and
losses.
Hey, Jimmy, if it's like that, then tell Kobe to pass the ball to Drew Holiday and them, then. Get us a couple wins.
Hello.
Talking about wins.
You play to win the game.
Y'all do sports.
You don't play to just play it.
Shut up, Herm.
Exactly. I don't care about him scoring. I'm trying to see some wins, man. This team stinks. Right. I want to see some wins.
Yo, Earl Clark is nice.
Yeah, so what, man?
Yeah, Earl Clark is nice when he getting layups because Kobe got eight guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
His hair peasy.
We'll skip the whole Rudy Gay trade. Everybody know about that. We talk about that on our Facebook page. One last thing before we get into our Super Bowl coverage, man. Chris Bosh said that he had his Hall of Fame candidacy wrapped up about 4 years ago. Y'all think Chris Bosh is on his way to the Hall, man?
Yo, I'm not laughing at the fact of that he said. I'm laughing at the how arrogant he was. In
how
fans.
Cocky
like,
he was when he said
like, yeah,
4 years ago.
He said
he had it wrapped up like 4 years ago. Now, when we posted this on our social media, so many people came back. Of course, you heard that Chris Bosh is on bath salts. He on this. He's smoking this and smoking that. But, I mean, I think a lot of people, I don't want to defend his, you know, the arrogance of how he said that and what he actually said. But I think a lot of people still have forgotten how good of a player he was before he decided to be the third fiddle. And even in being the third fiddle and getting scraps, he still puts up numbers scraps from the other two superstars in Miami. I think he may have messed up his Hall of Fame path by joining with those dudes, but on top of what he's already done, his career averages, no matter how you slice it, are going to be decent, and playing with those dudes may get him 2 or 3 rings. So you never know. His resume is going to be pretty good when it's all said and done. So I'm not going to be the one saying, oh, he on crack, he on bath salts. I think it's possible. I don't think he should have came the way he came talking about 4 years ago. I had that wrapped up. Like, you tripping.
If Dennis Johnson and Joe Dumars can make it into the Hall, Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. I mean, I'm not saying he's a shoe-in, but I see him playing another 3 to 5 years. And I see him playing another 2 to 3 years at a reasonably high level. Yo,
is he on the level of Big Game James? Worthy?
Not quite.
Because they don't have a nickname.
Well, because he acts like a woman.
So he's not on the level of masculinity, but he might be on the level of basketball.
I hate to say this, man. I hate to say this, but I think they're going to win a couple more titles. Even if
he might get two or three.
Honestly, if D-Wade gets out the way, they might win a bunch more. Anyway, but but I'm going to keep it a bean, though.
He does not like people that score.
Jimmy just don't like the Euro step.
D-Wade has been a great scorer in 2 years, see? But y'all listen, though. He's 29 for his career. Come on, man. The sunshine's and the dogs. Hey, but listen, though. He's 29 for his career. He's an 8-time All-Star. And that's what I was pointing out. Out of all the 8-time All-Stars, there's only one guy who's not in the Hall of Fame. So it's like he has the numbers. He'll have the championship.
Joe Effort, man.
He's definitely going to be in. In my opinion, he's going to be in.
No, he averaged like 22-10 twice in Toronto. I think he averaged 24-11 one year. People really slight him. Like, Chris Bosh was a highly sought-after free agent that year, too. But it was like, you know, nobody cared about anybody else until LeBron, until that first chip fell. Nobody really cared about where everybody else went. But I was in the Garden that year for two games watching Knicks fans. One of them was against Toronto, watching Knicks fans fawn all over him with signs and stuff, because at this point they kind of figured they weren't getting LeBron. So it's like, you know, people forget what they were asking for and what they were loving back then. Now that he plays third fiddle on a championship team, now everybody disses the dude like he can't.
He plays third fiddle in name, but in game, he plays second fiddle, man. I watched that game. Yeah. He's not third fiddle.
Jimmy wouldn't have won last year without him because they were on the ropes when he was injured, and when he came back,
they made things look easy again.
Let me ask y'all this. Once you take Tim Duncan and you take Kevin Garnett out of the equation, when we go to power forwards, where does Chris Bosh land? Is he better than Powell?
He's better than Duncan and Garnett. What are you talking about?
He's better than Powell back when he first left and people were asking that question.
Listen, here's the thing, though. Even in that game against Boston, they lost the game. If it wasn't for him and his work on the offensive glass, they would have got blown out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
The only thing that would keep him out probably is just his facial expressions. That's probably the only thing he's on.
One last point I have on this is the basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. So the fact that he's played in the Olympics and has all that counts on his resume.
He got two gold medals.
He'll have multiple NBA championships, 20-9. Eight All Star games
Even if we don't count the gold medals, eight All Star, he has a point. He has a point besides the fact that he said I had it wrapped up for you.
Cockiness
just backed up doesn't bother me, and he's been
cocky
backing it up.
Something that I just can't help, man.
Yeah, yo. All listeners, y'all got to check out our website, warroomsports.com. Call in to speak with us about any of our topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. You'll be live and direct in our plush Hollywood studios. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Yo. Jump right into the football. The football. Super Bowl 47 coverage.
Boom.
And this is absolutely brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone. If you happen to have the new BlackBerry, there's really no apps on it, so you might as well just listen to The War Room. And you can do that by going to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word. And put in the coupon code, The War Room. There's no memory or storage wasted when you listen that way. And make sure to check us out there. Again, we're all over the place, iTunes, Stitcher. With that being said, let's jump right into the discussion, gentlemen. Thoughts on the cold weather Super Bowl in Jersey next year?
I really don't know about this, man. I don't know how, you know, after all of these years of trying to have it in either domes or you know, at least sunny places. I mean, we've gotten some rainstorms and all that. I think at this point in the game, 48 games into the game, I think it's a little unfair to throw these two teams in cold weather, you know, possible snow and wind, whatever giant stadium is going to have for you. You know, it's football and it's all a part of football, but it's, I don't know. I'm just not used to seeing
the Super Bowl's in a
That's the biggest part about it. People.
Yeah, I was about to say it's an event, and a lot of things that they do and the things that go on even leading up to the Super Bowl, like all that plays into the event, to the big stage that the Super Bowl is on. Like, I don't know how that's going to work because, I mean, look at it, the weather here is so mercurial. You don't know if it's going to be a rainstorm or a snowstorm or, you know what I'm saying? It's just
or 75
whatever.
Degrees.
Or 75 degrees. Like, yeah, so it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know how they're going to pull that off.
Yeah, listen, see, that's the thing for the fans. Like when you're a fan of the recent Super Bowl, recent years at least, you know, you don't expect to have to bundle up to go see the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You want to enjoy everything. You got the cameras out, but you know your hands might be freezing. It's crazy.
I have a different opinion. I'm of the opinion. I'm for it, but I grew up. I'm old enough to remember NFL films and the show on the greatest game ever, Packers Giants game. Which was for the championship and everything was. I'm with that, man. This is football, man. You know, they're already wussifying the game in so many other aspects. I say get rid of this, like, this whole thing where the Super Bowl is put in special locations. I say let the team with the best record get the home field advantage for real.
It's football thing and they wussifying the game. But, like, I go back to the point PJ made. At this point, I think they've made it such an event that might be a bad thing to try to do all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Like, Goodell and them can say the same thing you're saying. It's football and everything, but they're going to be inside of the owner's boxes. They're not going to be outside freezing and, you know, in the elements. So it's not really for the game. It's more so because of the event. Now, if they find a way to just leave the field open and cover everything else up in warmth,
yeah.
That might be cool.
I just think that for me, I want to see them get rid of the whole notion of having an spot. I want to see they have real home field advantage. So
yo, they had full fledged concerts at halftime. How they gonna pull that off in the snow? Outside. I'm not promoting that. I don't like the fact that halftime is like an hour. But I mean, if they're going to continue to do it this way, how are you going to do it out in the elements?
Work, man. Yo, my thing is,
hey BJ, they definitely going to be lip-syncing now because they ain't
going
to
be
exactly.
They're going to come up there waving and the music going to be in the background.
They can put something up. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. It can work. They can find a way to make it work, man.
Put a little pin up.
We'll see how it goes down next year. We'll see how it goes.
You know what I'm saying? So that way, when the Eagles make the bowl could be in Philly.
See, and I do also, back to the game aspect, though, I do like, okay, we got supposedly the two best teams. I kind of do, I like seeing them be able to just go at it in perfect conditions and just see who's the better team. You know, because one team, the weather might favor one team. You know, they might be used to that, you know.
Yeah.
I want to see the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to get back to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about football, not this little wussy stuff they got. Let's move on.
Jimmy saying that. He's going to be watching that from home, chilling.
I ain't going anyway. So, anyway, let's talk about – we actually had Robert Klimko on, and we talked a little bit about it, but I want to get all you guys' thoughts on the Niners defense is that Chris Culliver and his anti-gay comments. He was talking to Artie Lang, and Artie Lang got him to say some things that he says he regrets. But, Dev, what were your thoughts on those comments?
Put it in a nutshell, my thoughts are if you can't stick to what you say, then don't say it in the first place. Because, you know, we're living in a politically correct time. So it's either you're going to think about what you say before you say it, or you're going to say what you mean and mean what you say and not take everything back and apologize for everything after the fact. That's in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem is with the Super Bowl, because you have so much media, you have people who aren't used to talking to the media. Like, you have a lot of players who wouldn't normally talk on a regular basis. Like, quarterbacks, you know.
He is a backup.
Right, exactly. So they're a little bit more conditioned and a little bit more programmed to talk to the media, give them the answers that are politically correct, and they're a little bit more coached up. But when you got guys that aren't used to, and you're talking to a shock jock who's poking you, who's trying to get the big line or the big story, and you feed into it, like you said, he said what he meant. He just backtracked because they said the 49ers jumped on his heels like, yo, you got to correct this or something. And, I mean, it just doesn't even sound right. First, you're like, yo, we can't have that. No, no, no. Then you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. So it's just corny. I mean, I don't know. When I heard him saying it, I was like, God, I just thought of Tim Hardaway all over again, yo.
Man, he's soft, dude. He's soft.
It's funny. Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm saying at the end of the day, nobody believes you when you apologize anyway.
No, absolutely not. They know why you're doing that.
Great
point. I mean, my thing is, what's the point of even apologizing at this point? Nobody believes you anyway.
I totally agree
with
that.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Thank you, Sean Carter. I kind of feel where all of y'all are coming from, Dev, especially like the disingenuousness of today's media climate. Like, it really bothers me, like being politically incorrect, because if you really want to change the way things are, then you got to be honest with yourself and honest with the people listening to you. And by backtracking and doing all this tap dancing, it's kind of corny. Now, me personally, I actually agree. I kind of agree with what he's driving at, just because I feel as though sexuality doesn't have a place in the locker room. It's not a position.
But you defend Ray bringing Jesus Christ in the locker room, though, right?
That's a little bit different. Your spirituality and what you choose to talk about, you know, doesn't have a place. But I am physically butt naked in a locker room, and if I have someone else of a different sexuality in that locker room looking at my, you know what I'm saying? Like,
So you're assuming that he's attracted to everybody. Yeah.
It's not even a matter of him being attracted. It's the fact that it's an environment. It would be the same now as letting a woman in a male locker room. Are you
cool with a heterosexual dude looking at your stuff?
I'm not cool with a heterosexual dude looking at my stuff, but my thought being that it's not going to arouse a heterosexual man.
There ain't gonna be no sword fights in there if they are heterosexuals.
My whole point being sexuality that belongs outside of the locker room. Like, there shouldn't be any concerns of it, period.
So Brad, you're saying if it was a gay, like, you would be uncomfortable if you had a gay teammate then, pretty much.
I don't want to be in a position where sexuality even has to be thought about or come into play in a locker room. Like,
this is the world we live in, though, man. You have homosexual males. Like,
it's gay dudes
the
in the locker room.
Wait, hold on. There's already gay guys in the league. You say that, though. Wait, you say, like, sexuality being brought up in the locker room, but we all been in locker rooms before. And let's not act like dudes don't be in there talking about what they hit the other night and this and that. So it's always in the locker room.
You just don't want to hear it from a gay dude
and what he was hitting.
We're talking about what we hit outside of the locker room, but you're in the locker room attracted to what's in the locker room.
He could have a steady dude.
Yeah.
I can't believe all
he can be faithful to his man.
But there's the possibility is there. It's not even a matter of whether he does or doesn't. The possibility is
look,
there.
Look, man, I ain't mad
yeah,
at you.
Yeah, it's possible
you know,
that.
We speak our minds. I ain't mad at you, though.
I can't believe he's saying it, though. I just think of Austin when it's still that way.
Nah, times have changed, though. Like, you understand where Brad's coming from. Because, really, I mean, think about it. If we were in high school, right? And this was like, here's the thing, times have changed. So all I'm saying is that we're coming through the change now. So some people are a little bit slow to get to change, but the way we've been conditioned, unfortunately, is that we would be uncomfortable if people were in the locker room or we would cover up. You know what I'm saying? So it takes time to kind of
get through. It really wasn't as acceptable as it is now.
Yeah.
Back in those days, like when we were in locker rooms together, high school and all that kind of stuff. You know, now
every
TV show, if it's not primarily about, you know, gay people, they have gay characters on it. It's just accepted. Every time somebody says comments like this, the backlash is crazy. But like PJ said, and we admitted this the first time we had the gays in the locker room conversation when DeVita had asked us the question, and we admitted it to her. Like, no, back in our day, back in high school, we were ignorant. We definitely probably had a problem.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And the thing is, so we're African American males from inner cities. We grew up in the hip hop generation. What's more homophobic than hip hop? And
right.
I get all that, but I just
so
thought that
got,
I just,
so you guys
I'm just in shock
changed,
that you also felt that way.
You guys have changed, and you've progressed to a point where you would be comfortable with that in your life.
I've progressed to the point where I don't give a damn what anybody else do.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point. Like, I'm not
That's
walking
right.
around the locker room naked anyway. Like, even if it's
hetero,
I'm not walking around naked anyway. Honestly, I ain't going to front. I would be the dude, and it's not because I'm just not, like, cool walking around in my birthday suit around other dudes. But anyway, I do a bird bath type of joint and then go to the crib and get cleaned up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm even out of a locker room.
Yo, I was just about to say, I'm like, all the listeners are going to think that I'm nasty, but that's funny because I was just having this conversation in the car with my wife the other day, and I told her all the sports that I've played in my life and in high school and all that kind of stuff, I've never taken a shower at school.
Yo, me either.
I've never taken a shower
at
school.
Yo, me either. 100.
I've never
ever
washed up.
Me too,
cuz. And it wasn't because I was worried about gay dudes.
You know what I mean? Just know something about walking around naked like that. I ain't all square with that.
Austin, to answer your question, I think I'll progress because I just don't care. Because at the end of the day, I know statistically speaking, they're already homosexual men in the locker room anyway.
Good catch, Jeff.
They are.
Good catch, bro. But yeah, you're right.
That's definitely. It just haven't come out yet. So, dude, the way Chris Culliver was being all cocky with his comments, talking about, oh yeah, we wouldn't have that in here. Like, dog, you don't know. You probably right.
No, you play with Vernon Davis though.
You probably right. <Vernon Davis. laughs> I knew that was coming. All right, man.
Come on, man.
We spending too much time of the Super Bowl talking about gay people in locker rooms.
I mean, this is what happens when they have media day in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For the game that, you know, come on.
But it goes back again to what PJ said, it's an event. So they need that 2 weeks because they get a lot of money, a lot of revenue in that 2 weeks from hotels and restaurants.
Yeah. I know you brothers keep it a beam, man. So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be completely honest. Completely honest when I ask you this question.
You already know I am.
If you were Alex Smith, would you be rooting against your team?
Hell yeah.
If you were Alex Smith, would you be rooting against the 49ers to win?
Secretly. Not like out in the open.
Not out in the open, but would you in your head?
Which
would
he could be doing.
Yo,
you asked us to keep and people already, if you're on our Facebook page, you already know how I feel about this because I commended a lot of the people who came to our Facebook page on this topic because it showed me that there's still a lot of great people out in this world. But me, if I'm having the best season of my life and I get hurt and you kick me to the curb for the rest of the season and we go to the Super Bowl, man, I don't want us to win that game because first of all, I don't want your backup ring because don't nobody remember who the backup ring is.
Ah, yo, you got a backup ring.
Yeah, I don't want your backup ring.
Hey, Kubiak, yo.
In no way are we talking about Alex Smith. We're talking about if we were in his shoes because he seems to be handling this in a very professional way, and I commend him for it, but I'm just not wired the same as Alex Smith. I just don't think I could sit, like, I'm not saying I wouldn't, like, in practice help Colin Kaepernick and do what I have to do and remain, you know, I'm still getting a check, I'm still doing what I'm doing, but at the end of the day, I'm sitting at home, I'm telling my wife, like, yo, I really don't want them to win this game. Like, I'm not the starting quarterback no more. They they kind of played me out when I was having my best season. It's already a foregone conclusion that the move probably was best. So that ship has sailed. It's not like not like it's Colin Kaepernick's first game and he's like, oh, I hope this dude failed miserably.
You know what?
That's already passed. But
what
I wouldn't want them to win
the
Super Bowl, man.
You know
I'm a hater.
You know what the issue is, too, Doug? It's kind of like you would be questioned, your character would be questioned for your position right now, right? But Harbaugh, regardless of the success that they've realized, Harbaugh's, the way he went about that, his character has never been questioned, or the fact that he made a disingenuous move, no one's really called him on the carpet about it. So it all started with your coach being dishonest and disingenuous with you.
Because when you think
that's
about
the game
it,
of football, unfortunately,
he did it in a genius way. Remember, we were getting on the board because he was like sounding all crazy because he really felt bad about like making a decision. He probably didn't feel bad. He knew what he was doing. He was playing it the right way,
yeah.
You know?
He was playing it to make it look like he was easing into the decision.
Yeah.
No, I know he played it. That, too, is being disingenuous with the public. Like, I know it's being genius and being smart about it. Yo, he definitely was all of those things. He just had
this is what everybody keeps saying to me.
And
Leroy definitely said it. He just said it in the chat room. He said Alex Smith has to continue to play the good teammate. After he wins or loses and signs his next contract, then he can F them. See, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying I would be a problem or a distraction. That's why I emphasize the word secretly. I'll be hating in secret. Like, only myself, probably, you know, my wife
secret-ass
and Jesus.
Yeah.
Me, my wife, and Jesus would know that I don't want my team to win this game.
Yo, here's the thing, man.
PJ, what you about to talk to?
No, I was going to say at the end of it. Go ahead, PJ. You got it.
No, I was just going to kind of piggyback on what Deb was saying. Like, I wouldn't like, hurt, dude. I wouldn't hate. I wouldn't, like, not tell him things he should know. I wouldn't help stop, like, trying to mentor him. But secretly, I would be hoping that the team didn't have success. That's like, I try to make the analogy with, like, if you were at work or something. Like, say you at work and you kind of, you know, you get hurt and you out of work and then you come back. Now, a lot of jobs, I don't think you can lose your job to, like, something like an injury or whatever. But then you come back and somebody took your position and they doing better than you. Like, you might be like, dad, you're not wishing for the success of them because you're out of your job or you got demoted or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Exactly.
Listen, man, all I'm saying is this.
Go ahead, Jim. I'll tell you.
I'm saying, you're like, look, you shouldn't be jealous, man. Males shouldn't be jealous. That's a female trait. Would you imagine that she puts times and he sell weight? No, but seriously, though, he shouldn't be jealous and do some of those things, like, to try to make them lose, so to speak. But at the end of the day, man, he's human, man. How could you not feel some type of way?
That's
you know
what I'm saying.
I
wouldn't
no
do anything to make them lose, but, you know.
Like
I said, nobody would even know about this. I would appear, like, for all we know, Alex Smith could be doing this. He could be appearing to be the consummate teammate, the most professional dude in the world. But that could be something his agent, like, look, we got to get this next contract. Like everybody keep emphasizing, we got to get this next contract. But this is an analogy I heard, like Mike Greenberg. I can't really use it with us. I can't really use it with us because we don't have bosses here. But Greenberg was saying, he was telling Golic, like, okay, just say if, you know, we just had the best season of Mike and Mike ever, our ratings are up, you know, we won an Emmy or whatever they get in radio, and, you know, they just bring in somebody to replace Greeny. And Greeny was like, okay, and I might still work at ESPN, but I'm going to root for the ratings of that show to plummet without me. I still love Golic. I still love Joaquin and all the dudes we work with. But I'm going to hope the ratings fail miserably because they just, you know, kind of chumped me from my job for no reason.
Yeah, they pooped on you.
It's human. And I, like I said, I commend a lot of people for the way they feel. Half of y'all think y'all lying. But
are they just saying
like
what's
like,
the politically correct thing to say?
It might be, but I tried to tell people in our forum, on our Facebook forum, you can keep it 100, you can keep it a bean, and I put I put that disclaimer out there, and they still were good people about it. So I guess
listen,
really
man, one thing you guys said that I appreciate is the fact that you're not going to do it out in public. Like you won't be one of them cowards that's like Brett Favre who's out there hating in public.
Yeah, I ain't gonna be no distraction. Like, Brett wouldn't even help the dude. He wouldn't even help
me. Yo, Brett Favre used to open the door for that boy. Like, he was a vocal hater, yo. He let it be known that he was hating. Anyway, man, I just wanted to ask you guys that question because I think that's one of the interesting stories of this Super Bowl. Is how Alex Smith feels, man. There's actually a website that was tracking his every move since he landed in New Orleans. It was like something like whatsalexsmithdoingrightnow.com, and they had like pictures of like what he was doing, clowning basically. It was something like that.
You know what?
Clowning, though.
Deion Sanders had a real big problem Tuesday on media day that Alex Smith didn't have his own podium. I mean, do y'all think – I mean, I know he's not the typical backup quarterback because of the 49ers story. Do y'all think he should have had a podium?
I think it would have been nice. I don't think it is necessary for Deion to throw a hissy fit and put his fairy wings
really
on
did.
And throw
like
some
he
fairy.
Was,
yeah, he threw
really
some fairy dust
about that.
He threw some fairy dust on it.
Think
don't
about
need
it,
a man
think about
that'll
it,
give you money.
If you're Alex Smith, you might feel some type of way about having a podium. You might feel like they're patronizing you now. I'm
right.
Like, yo, I,
that's a good point.
Now, all they're going to ask him, is what we're talking about. How do you feel about being choked?
He may not be able to hide it under that scrutiny, so he may be thankful that they didn't give him one.
He still had the biggest crowd around him ever for a dude that didn't have a podium. They still got the questions. He had a standing podium, basically. He just didn't have a way to sit.
Deion was acting very Trezvanny about it, though. That's one thing I got to say.
Brain injuries, man.
I bet you Deion rooted for 49ers in bail.
We got a call now. Before I get to the call, let me bring up this next topic. Speaking of someone being Trezvanny,
you know
Randy
who that is?
Moss, no, you got it. Randy Moss says that he's the GOAT wide receiver at Media Day. And Jerry Rice kind of got in his emotional bag. He was acting very Trezvanny when he heard this.
Jerry
start putting to his rings and, you know, his hoop earrings and all that stuff. But Jerry got very offended. When Randy said that he was the GOAT, so, you know, how do you guys feel about Randy, a.k.a.?
Great cash, homie.
I have no problem. I have no problem at all with him confidently expressing how he truly feels because I don't want him to have a problem with me as a member of the media telling him that he is absolutely wrong. Jerry Rice did act a bit effeminate about the whole situation. But then I went and I looked at the numbers and the comparison. Yo, even on Randy Moss' best day, yo, he wasn't Jerry Rice. Man. Yo,
but
the numbers are apart.
You know what I heard? Like I heard a lot of people who were on Moss' side try to say that Jerry Rice was an accumulator over 20 years, like he played so long. But when you stack up their first 14 years together, like Jerry's first 14 versus Moss' 14, he still beats him in every statistical category.
Yeah, not just that.
Jerry Rice was 40 years old and had 92 catches at 40.
Yeah, I was
getting
ready to say that.
Okay.
Randy in his mid-30s.
Like, Randy had like 18 catches this year. Now, again, this is part of the system. But,
Jerry had over 90 catches at 40.
92 catches at 40 years old,
bro. It ain't even that. If you look at him as an accumulator, right, and you look at where his averages go, like
you
his averages will go down, but his averages
still
are still higher than Moss's, which means if you take the accumulator years out, he would have been way ahead of his per catch, yards per catch. They made yak for the dude.
But
like
you
know, dude
I wouldn't even grant people that term because like PJ and Jimmy just said, he was 40 years old catching 90 passes. Even though he was bitching, he didn't want the ball in the Super Bowl, evidently. We learned that later. But you can't call a dude an accumulator. An accumulator would be somebody who stayed around for 8 years catching like 36 passes a year.
Yeah.
Was still getting 80 and 90 balls. So I don't even grant them that term.
Right.
And like Jerry Rice got the most out of his ability. Like Jerry Rice took what he had and he got the most out of it. Like he didn't leave anything behind. He, you know, took advantage of everything that he did well. He did it to its fullest extent.
Right.
Randy, you know what I'm saying?
Most talented.
Yeah.
Most talented.
Hey, like last week, Jim.
My whole point with this is I don't have a problem with Randy saying that. You should feel that.
I ain't mad about that.
I mean, you know, I mean, Jeremy Mathis should say I'm the best ever. But I mean,
probably not, but I'm expecting T.O. to say it soon. Because actually, I got T.O. I got T.O. in front of Randy.
Moss.
personally.
I got to know in front of Jerry Rice, but that's just me. Because
look, I'm not even all, y'all know I'm not all a stat guy, but if we were even want to use stats to back up our argument, T.O. has a better stats than Randy
than
Moss.
Moss.
Randy
yeah.
Moss, is, of all the receivers who could arguably be the greatest or in the top three, Randy Moss is the only one without 1,000 catches. And
yo,
with
I
this
feel,
extra
I,
year
I,
even
I,
though
I
he retired.
Take, I personally would take Moss over T.O., but I would take Jerry over both of them just yeah. based upon the fact that, yo, he was
Randy
40 years old and had 90. Well, yeah, I ain't talking about stats. Yeah. Stats are for losers, quote my man Raheem Morris. I'm just talking about, yo, Jerry Rice. Yo, man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
See, but that's the thing. I actually think
40
T.O.
he was calling.
I actually think T.O. could be that productive at that age, but T.O.'s added, you know, his, you know, his
feminine
antics
quality.
Were so bad that
yeah.
they won't even allow him
that,
back in the league.
Well, yeah, good. Even at, if you want to look at
yeah,
it, at 30, at 30,
athlete. You're right.
At 30,
yeah.
at 36, he went to the
but
Bengals
I got Rice
and,
in front of both
and
of
took
them too.
And took John, and took Chad Johnson's job.
Right,
yo,
right,
basically.
He called
but,
both
but,
yeah,
I got
him
in front of Randy. Randy only got three more touchdowns than T.O., and T.O. ain't played since 2010.
I got Randy just because, like, Randy just walking on the field changes the game. That's just me personally. But, yo, before we even move forward, let's get to
T.O.
the call.
T.O. is way more personal.
Yeah, it is what it is. He is sucker, though. Yo, before we go any further, let's talk to our caller. We got the homie Neef on the line. Neef is calling in from Philly. What's good, homie?
Yo, what's up, brothers?
What's up,
Neef?
What's going on, Neef?
What's good? How you?
What's going on, bro?
I'm good.
What's going
man.
On? Who you got, man? You got Randy Moss or T.O. if you had to pick between the two?
Oh, T.O.
T.O.
Oh, yeah.
T.O. T.O.
Randy
can't
block.
Over Randy Moss, man.
I don't want crap on Randy because I got Randy probably number three all time. But in comparison to T.O., Randy don't block. Randy don't go across that middle. He not really getting yacked.
He gets enough
yardage on the catch, but
he just
really
take the top
yeah.
off the defenses.
Man, listen, man.
He's definitely
Randy,
a threat. He's definitely a threat. A big threat.
I mean,
like Jimmy always
say,
I mean, I got him
show.
Number three all time. That ain't no diss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. What's good, though, Neef?
No, I mean, Randy Moss, he's top five. I ain't even got him in the top three. Like I like T.O., Jerry Rice. Another guy who I like over Randy Moss is Michael Irvin. He was better. I think Irvin was better than Moss.
Yeah,
if Michael Irvin would have got shorted, man, he would have had better numbers. I take Michael Irvin over Randy Moss any day.
I think his team was too talented to have better numbers. But this is what I tell people all the time. Like, I don't necessarily agree that he's better than Randy. I think Randy's better, but I'm like happy to hear people even put playmaker in the conversation because I think he does get slighted a lot by a lot of people. A lot of people don't even put him in this conversation because his numbers
why,
don't stack up.
I mean,
but as a receiver,
he plays,
was nice,
what,
man.
The receiver position is just like it's so many great receivers. I mean, you got guys now that have been log jammed, can't even get in the Hall of Fame because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You got guys like Andre Reed who was underrated. You know, a lot of receivers put up crazy numbers, and now as we move forward in this new pass-happy NFL, the numbers will be through the roof. You'll have average guys like DeSean Jackson putting up Hall of Fame numbers because of the type of game that we play that's being played.
DeSean
now,
won't.
But.
I get your point, but DeSean will put up numbers.
He's a gangbanger with speed, though. But anyway,
yeah, but he catches like 50 passes a year.
Who you got in the bowl, Neef?
Man, like I said, before the playoffs even started, man, I was just like, that Kaepernick boy, man, I was on his bandwagon. He was hot, man. He still is hot, but lately, man, I just want to see Uncle Ray go out on top, man. Like,
Uncle Ray, man. Yo,
so I
got
to change my pick to Baltimore, man. And, you know,
I heard that.
I think
yo,
this game, I think San Fran, they did that boy Alex Smith wrong. He was balling, too, before he got the concussion. So I think he's going to come back and haunt him, man. I think they're going to lose this game.
Yo, wouldn't it be crazy, now not wishing this on anybody, if Kaepernick got hurt in the game and Alex had to come in?
Yeah, I thought about that at one point.
Dude, yo, I'm rooting for Ed Reed and Uncle Ray, but if that happened, I think I might switch my whole allegiance.
Here's one thing I want to bring up. Neef, it's funny that you said that, right? Because talking to people all week, and even if they check out our video we drop where we give predictions on the Super Bowl, it's like everybody is rooting for Ray, and everybody's picking Ravens, and what's crazy is they're the underdogs in this game. You know what I mean? Mm. But everybody's rooting for Ray to win. You know what I'm saying? Out of seven cats,
not to cut, not to cut you off, when they lost to the Giants, was that the championship game last year?
Yeah, the NFC championship.
They probably would have won it that year. Like, special teams was fumbling the ball. Alex Smith, man, the ball was balling, man.
Neef, this is Dev. I say that to people all the time. I'm like, he was good enough even last year to get them to the Super Bowl. It was not his fault that they didn't make the Super Bowl last year. It was that puck returner, dude.
Before we get you out of here, Neef, I want to bring up a point, because you just made a point. It's like, if you look at both these teams, the Ravens actually played well enough to go to the bowl, too, but they had a drop pass in the end zone. Lee Evans dropped the pass in the end zone. Then they had a missed kick after that. So last year, it probably should have been Baltimore and San Fran have probably been the two best teams the last 2 years.
That's funny. You know, these teams, they basically got off the mat and, like, they got to where they were supposed to be last year.
That's a good point. Like, these two teams could have been in last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And after the way they lost, they both could have been
the ball too.
Yeah, they could have had that hangover, like, man, it's too hard to put that effort to get back. And they actually got back and made it.
Anyway, man, Neef,
before I get out of here, I just
move on, though. Go ahead.
Okay. One more before I get out of here, like Randy Moss, you know, the greatest ever. Like, the year he went to the Super Bowl, he dropped an important pass, a catch. Easy catch, he dropped it. That was a touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
So to say you was like you fold under pressure when it was clutch time.
That's
Jerry Rice, like, great players make plays like that. You can't call yourself the greatest, man.
Hey, Neef, man, thanks for the support. Thanks for the call, homie. We about to wrap this show up.
All right, homie. We're going to be back. We're going to have a pregame show on Sunday at 3:30, though. So tune in.
We holler.
All right.
Thanks, homie. All right. Yo, that's a great point. Because he definitely did drop that pass.
And when T.O. was in that Super Bowl, he balled out.
He had a peg leg in that game, yo.
All right, man. F y'all, man.
Yo,
F y'all.
He had a peg leg and a peg quarterback. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
I just want to get quick opinions on this whole Uncle Ray thing with Deer Antler Spray before we give our predictions, man, because this is another one of those stories that came out.
No weapon that they're trying to form against my uncle.
The bull came back from a tricep joint real fast, if you think about it.
Did you hear what his response was? That's the devil's work in bringing them stories up.
Yeah, but you know what? It's one of those.
You sound like Pastor Eddie Long.
It's one of those things that they, the thing in it, the IG, whatever it is, that's in it, it's banned, but it isn't tested for. But I was listening to somebody the other day, and they were saying why this stuff is so hot right now, because it's sort of like HGH. They said, like, deer antlers, like, that's one of the fastest-growing things on the planet. They said, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard somebody say that bucks, like, once they grow their antlers, they shed them every year. And they grow back, like,
that's
almost
true.
Immediately.
That's true.
Yeah. I heard that, too.
So if they can
Zealand,
shed
yeah.
those joints every it's year, and they said they rumble. Grow back quickly, even bigger. So you can understand why they're attracting this stuff.
Who's the first person to try this, though?
I don't know. But dude said that the Chinese have been doing it for 1,000 years.
Duh. I feel like the Chinese
like
always doing
said, they're getting
stuff.
These deer from New Zealand or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. They said the New Zealand deer, they say their antlers grow like crazy. And they say they just stick this stuff under your tongue. And you know what? I didn't notice about the NFL. I didn't know that they don't blood test in the NFL. I'm like, they don't test for HGH in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's why the Players Association won't ever negotiate that. I ain't going to front
you.
That's
because they'll find all kinds of
things. Go out of business.
I know. I ain't going to front you. Exactly. I'm about to say, honestly, Adrian Peterson, that's my Aki. You know what I'm saying? That's my homie. But dog, Adrian Peterson got like he probably got a bucket of deer antler spray in his crib, and he ain't even what Brad you call him? He the original black man, dog. I think all them dudes is on something, cuz I ain't gonna front not everybody, but I think it's very why. Yeah.
He probably got a deer farm in his backyard.
He probably got that.
Yo, they got dead deers laying in the living room.
Dog, they don't test the HGH. That's why half these dudes be like 280 with a 0.7% body fat and run 4.1.
Yeah.
And we like, how does this happen?
Real quick, y'all, because I know we got to go. This stuff is called IGF-1, and that's what's on the ban list. This is the same stuff.
Come on, man.
Your liver kind of develops this on its own. If you take HGH. So it's the same stuff that's in HGH. So that's why they're taking it. And a doctor from Johns Hopkins said, he said it's not really plausible that you could spray this stuff on, you know, orally and get this. So I don't know. But we'll talk about it more on Sunday.
I don't think it can exist in the NFL with the type of trauma their bodies go through without them dealing with performance enhancers just for the recovery factor. Just
yeah, I agree with that. Especially like you get to play on Sunday and play against Sunday, yo.
Yeah.
Man, yo,
yeah.
If I run at a treadmill,
especially when you have
minutes,
a career ending injury
myself.
And you come back 2 months later, huh?
Huh? Like, yeah, that's crazy, man. Yo, think about it. You're right, Dev. Can't you just, like, tear ACL, tear their arm, and be out forever? Anyway,
and be
man.
Out for 2 years.
Be out
forever. Forget 2 years. Career be over. You tear your ACL back in the day, that was a career ender. Anyway,
now
man.
Give these boys 6 weeks. Let that
yo,
stuff
remember?
Get to your liver.
My man Booby Miles never played after high school.
Yeah, I mean, you want to win, man, Booby. Yo, bottom line, let's get into these predictions real fast, gentlemen. We only got a couple minutes left. Let's go around the table. I'm going
to
start
cool,
with you, Jeff. What's your prediction for the game?
We got the pregame show on Sunday, so I'll give a more in-depth prediction, and I might switch by then. But right now, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens in a close one. I'm going to say 27-24 Baltimore Ravens. I'll give my reasons why. On Sunday, or you can watch
no
our video on WorldRoomSportsTV.com. No weapon.
Listen, man, I'm going to be very brief. I just want to say I'm taking the Ravens because watching the Niners play this season, I noticed that teams that are physical with them, they don't – they're bullies. When they punch and you don't punch back, they win. When you punch back, they lose. They've got killed by Seattle. The Rams played them physical. They lost that game. That's just the MO of the team. And I don't think you can push Baltimore around. Baltimore just went and pumped New England, so I got the Ravens. PJ, who you got?
The 49ers is my beginning of the year Super Bowl pick, dog. I'm riding out with the 49ers. I think that the Ravens' age is going to catch up with them a little bit. And Ray took antler spray.
No doubt. All right. See y'all.
No weapon.
No weapon.
Do you even have to ask me, though?
I don't even have to ask you. Everybody knows.
I mean, we know who you rooting for. We asking you who gonna win.
They don't sleep on Francis M.H.
The Bible says.
The Bible.
What's a Bible? He say Bible. He said Bible. Yo, listen, man. Everybody knows that B. Austin is rooting for, you know what I mean, T.D. Ray. I mean, Ray Lewis to win this game.
T.D. Ray.
His name is T.D. Ray.
I never heard that song before.
Yo.
He's like I usually put earplugs in my ears.
In my ears.
So I can't hear myself screaming.
Thank you, Father.
Yo, man,
thank you, Father. We got to roll, man. We got to roll.
I
got to say two things real quick. Just because Kyrie's in the chat room, Donald Driver retired. Nobody cares.
Yeah, we knew that.
He did it on Mike.
Also, a birthday we missed. Jackie Robinson would have been 94, I believe. So
happy
birthday. And also, this is not sports related, but I have to say happy birthday to Kerry Washington for all kinds of other reasons that may get us kicked off of air. So
I'll grab it.
You know,
she got a nice
anyway,
mouth.
She yo,
got a
yeah,
nice
I
everything,
that
bro.
Mouth
I better not find her butt naked on payday.
This might be our last show, everybody.
Thanks everybody for joining us. and you know, a Super Bowl spectacular. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, the callers. I mean, Facebook comes busting up with us on the show. Special thanks to Robert Klemko of USA Today for taking time to call from New Orleans. Don't forget, tune in Super Bowl Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have a pregame tailgate show. We'll be broadcasting live from the War Room Sports Super Bowl party in our cabin in Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. We'll give you, you know, last-minute analysis and predictions. Until then, everybody, enjoy your sports week. Don't forget, check us out everywhere online. Check out our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Listen, as always, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. I see you chumps on top.
Happy Born Day, B.R.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Beat Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.